it's all about love of God. It's all about connection with Hashem and returning to Hashem and reconnecting and so on. But the first part is definitely more focused and reflective. And then God forgives us, and we need to believe that. I mean, God blesses us with a good year. And it's a new light, and it's a new time, and it's a new energy.
You are listening to The JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levi.
And we hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another JP Show.
Welcome, everyone.
Here's Rabbi Levi. Last week, Rabbi Levi interviewed a very good friend of ours, but with a fascinating story of journey of change, leading up to the High Holy Days, where growth and change is really one of the themes. And today we're going to have a discussion, I'm not sure about what, we'll find out in a minute, but wherever you're watching, please subscribe, and if you can, leave a review. How are you, Rabbi Levi? What are we talking about?
Yeah, it's all happening here. There's a lot of programs happening this week, next week, the week after.
I'm kind of getting dizzy. There's so much on.
Yeah, it's
but I'm sure everyone else is getting dizzy too, because I just sent out so many WhatsApps today, and I know you sent out even more.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that we're going to be very, like, blocked soon, like from...
I think I already am, actually.
350 phones or something.
Yeah.
But we're doing it because it's a really important time of the year.
It is an important time of the year. Exactly the point. Exactly.
We're like coming
very important time of the year. It's Elul, and this is the preparation month. This is the month where we have to invest in the preparation. And the more you invest in the preparation, the more you get out of the actual experience. So,
right, the more meaningful experience becomes, 100%. Preparation is everything.
So let's talk about that experience, actually, but from an angle that people may not be expecting. So when we talk about this time of year, everyone always talks about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the shofar blowing, the fast day. That's usually sort of at the center of everything, which obviously they're extremely important days. But the part that perhaps gets a little more missed is the second half of the month, which is Sukkot. There's actually two festivals there, almost in one, the Sukkot, culminating in Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah. And it's a very joyful time. It's a time we sing, we dance, we say L'chaim, we celebrate. And it's definitely talked about less. You know, even people don't usually go to shul. They go to shul for Yom Kippur, for Kol Nidre, for Ne'ilah. But Sukkot is sort of sometimes slips under the radar. So I thought we would jump to the end and discuss that.
Okay.
So, what about...
By the way, I know why you bring this up, because you know that I get a lot of lulavim and etrogim to distribute and to give to people and so on.
Mm.
And some people use these very fancy etrogim coming all the way from Italy. And some of them arrived in Sydney yesterday, so I went to choose some already. So,
right, so you're already in that zone.
I'm preparing for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and I'm choosing etrogim, the citrus.
That's right. Someone pointed out to me, actually, that yesterday was 30 days before Sukkot. So exactly a little
bit. That's right, 30 days ago.
Before. They started asking me if they can start building their sukkah already. You know, some people are even earlier than I am.
Hard to
believe. I haven't done that yet. Although I don't actually build my sukkah because I don't know how to build anything. I have to get someone else to build it. But... So let's first of all discuss, what is Sukkot exactly? Like, what's it doing there? What are we celebrating? What are we remembering?
Yes, I mean, I think on a very basic level, we know Sukkot is about thanking God and celebrating the fact that when we went out of Egypt, God protected us throughout the desert, right? We were in the desert 40 years, and we were protected it by booths. And also, you know, we learn from our rabbis that it was, or from the Chumash, actually, there were these things called the Ananei HaKavod, the miraculous clouds that surrounded the Jewish people and protected them, right?
Mm.
And that's why we sit in the sukkah, which represents these clouds. But it's much more than that, because the truth is, we know we celebrate the Exodus from Egypt at a different time of the year, right? Pesach. Right. And also, why does that make this festival such a joyous time? I mean, we have to be joyous always. Why particularly emphasis on joy? So I think we have to go back to what we were saying before. I think people, what we need to realize is as follows, that when Rosh Hashanah starts, Rosh Hashanah is at the beginning of the month of Tishrei, right? And there's a whole month of festivals. In fact, you know, in the Torah, First of all, the months don't have names. They have numbers. So, in fact, it's a funny calendar. We've talked about this before. It's the beginning of the year, but actually the months begin from Pesach. So Rosh Hashanah is actually called the seventh month, which in Hebrew is Chodesh Hashvi'i, the seventh month, which means also the saturated month, like Saver, to be satisfied. It means it's filled with holiness. But what's important to understand is that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot are actually all part of one journey. You can't really separate them. In fact, I think they should change the phrase. You know how people say in the Rosh Hashanah wishes, Rosh Hashanah Kal, they say, Shana Tova, wishing you a healthy year, well over the fast. Right? I think they need to add something, well over the fast and real enjoyment and happiness over Sukkot or something, right?
That's right.
Really, really should be one thing because it really is one thing. Because the month divides into two. It's all about love of God. It's all about connection with Hashem and returning to Hashem and reconnecting and so on. But the first part is definitely more focused and reflective. And then God forgives us and we need to believe that. And God blesses us with a good year. And it's a new light and it's a new time and it's a new energy. But then we have to celebrate that. And that's why Sukkot is called Zman Simchatenu, the time of our joy. And when we say our joy, we don't only mean our, like me and you, in other words, our collectively, the Jewish people. But as the commentaries point out, that our means our, us and God, that we celebrate. So we prepare, we focus, Rosh Hashanah, we pray hard, we blow the shofar, Yom Kippur, we fast for atonement, God forgives us, everything, all good, beautiful, which is very, very important. But we solidify it because the truth is everything is solidified by joy. We solidify it by solidifying the relationship between us and God with love and celebration and joy. Now, you have to have your Rosh Hashanah and Kippur first because otherwise the love and the joy becomes empty, right? It's like every marriage works like that. The first part is much more solemn, like the chuppah.
Mm.
And then you celebrate. And, you know, we have this in Jewish practice a lot. Like you know, before Purim comes the fast of Esther. And so on, but because even the joy is part of it's not frivolous joy, it's meaningful joy. But it's joy. It's about learning to love our Jewishness, not just to accept it, which is more like Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. But we love it and we celebrate it, and we give it priority, right? And we say, this is who we are. This is like what we, you know. And it carries forth the whole Rosh Hashanah and Kippur theme into a whole new level. So it's a really important time.
Thinking that, you know, you said it's a joy. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we're told that God writes us and seals us for whatever happens in the next year. And on Sukkot, we're sort of celebrating the good year that Hashem has given us. You know, you would think you would do that at the end of the year, right? You would wait to see what type of year it is and then celebrate it. But I guess in Judaism and in the Jewish story, we celebrate almost for the future. Like we're optimistic, we have hope.
Because we celebrate with bitachon, we celebrate with faith and trust that Hashem will do it for us.
Yeah.
And we are taught that that faith and that confidence actually generates the blessing.
Right.
Right? Number one. Number two, it's also in a spiritual way. Another thing about Sukkot is, why is it more sort of, see, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, we reestablish our connection with Hashem, we recommit to God, right? Each one in their own way, each one in where they are on the journey. But Sukkot is also about implementing it. You know, when people get married, it's a great thing. But when is the real joy? When you can implement the relationship, when you actually make it work. So what's interesting is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is very spiritual. So, you know, we shul, we daven, we fast, we abstain from food and all that, right? Sukkot, actually, no. We actually learn to live like a Jew, eat like a Jew.
Yeah.
We eat in the sukkah, we pick up physical things. It's all about, so it's really much more physical. Now we say, we've recommitted, we've reconnected with God over Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Now let's make it work. And that's the real simple, that's the real joy.
Yeah.
The relationship works, not just potentially, but really actually.
So why do we do that by waving branches? There's a lot of waving on Sukkot. First of all, I mean, obviously there's the four, it's called the Arba Minim, the Lulav, Etrog, the Hadas and the Aravos, put them all together and we shake them around, and then there's other, you know, we walk around the bimah with it every day of Sukkot, and then there's the last day of Sukkot, we take willow branches and we smack them on the ground. There's a lot of weird, if someone had no idea what Judaism is and walked into a shul on any given day of Sukkot, especially on the last day, they'll think this is a pretty odd religion.
Well, first of all, it is, and it's okay.
That's right.
Well, lots of meanings. I mean, the waving around actually has to do with joy.
Mm.
There's a verse in Psalms that says, "As yirannu atseyar," that the trees of the forest will celebrate, that they shake in the wind, that's like dancing.
Right.
But also this idea of waving around sort of in different directions, which represent the different layers of our experience. And the idea is to eternalize it, like eternalize it, each layer of who we are, and make it solid and all that kind of thing.
Right.
Because there's a way, also there's a custom of waving a little love and bringing it towards your heart.
Mm.
Meaning I'm bringing all different aspects of the month of Tishrei and internalizing it sort of in my heart, feeling it, experiencing it.
Yeah. And sitting in the sukkah, what's the sort of, I mean, you said the basic reason before, but what's like the...
Well, it's interesting. First of all, we are taught Kabbalistically that the schach, meaning the branches that cover the sukkah, have a very big holiness to them. In fact, they have the holiness coming from the shofar on Rosh Hashanah and the holiness of Yom Kippur.
Mm.
But that difference is that on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, again, same idea, much more spiritual, whereas in Sukkot it's now physical, it's tangible. And you sit in that holiness and you eat in that holiness, not like Yom Kippur. You eat in that holiness, and all you say, I'm bringing the holiness into everything of that I experience, right? Into the mundane, even into the physical. And also, there's another concept with sukkah, which is a beautiful idea, that we show what our priorities are. That we say, we sit in a sukkah, which is really a temporary dwelling place. That's the definition of a sukkah. It's not a permanent structure, it's more of a temporary thing. And we remind ourselves that this world, like the physical that seems so powerful and strong, is really just very fragile.
Mm.
It only becomes important and permanent when we do good things in it, when we make it meaningful. So we take a temporary structure which represents the transience of this physical world, and we do good, we do mitzvot in that sukkah, and that gives it permanence, that gives it strength.
Right. Yeah, so that's, I think we need to encourage people that obviously you need to engage with the whole month. Rosh Hashanah is important, to hear the shofar, and Kippur, of course, to fast, and to come to shul if you can. But Sukkot also is equally as important, perhaps in a way even more important.
The different ways to engage. I mean, first I want to say two things. Number one, I just think this year is so much more important. Like, we've had a couple of rough years, and anti-Semitism was on the rise and everything like that. And we just need to really be proud and connect with our Jewishness in a much bigger way.
Yeah.
And that starts with engaging much more in Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, but it also means engaging in Sukkot. Especially, by the way, that the event of October 7th, which happens to fall on the Thursday of Sukkot this year,
yeah.
But actually the real Jewish yahrzeit, so to speak, is on Shmini Atzeret, which is the last day of Sukkot. Means right. The second to last day of the whole, the 9 days. And so many ways you could, each one in their own way, just engage more than you did. If you're not sure how, let us know. I mean, maybe invite you. We're doing many things on Rosh Hashanah, by the way.
Mm.
You'll get more WhatsApps about, in case you haven't got enough WhatsApps. And then Sukkot, we've got stuff for the women in the morning, stuff for the men in the evening, a little bit of a get-together. But there's all kinds of things you can do just to shake the lulav at least once during Sukkot. Come and sit in the sukkah. Just try and engage with the festival. It's the joyous part of the month. Be proud, be happy that we're Jewish, and celebrate the Jewishness.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. So let's get ready for this amazing month.
In the meantime, everyone, I should have a Shana Tova. We'll be back next week before Rosh Hashanah still.
Absolutely.
But good preparation, and let's make it meaningful.
Absolutely. See you, everyone.
See you next week.